Hello, Internet. This is Justin Freed. Haim Cohen of HaimTime.com is here.
Hello, everyone. HaimTime at Ello.
Paul N. Shapiro of PaulNShapiro.com and SearchWilderness.com, correct, Paul?
Correct.
All right, I got it in the first go. And Haim was kind of teasing me before we went live. He told me the episode number, which is 161, but he also told me not to say the episode number. So I hope this introduction has pleased both camps of people, those who like the episode numbers and are in the right, and those who do not like the episode numbers and are in the wrong. Okay, so we're doing three things today, and we'll throw it to Paul to tell us what Ello is, and it's the first of our three topics, and go ahead, Paul. Run with this new social network.
Ello is a new social network. It's gotten a lot of buzz. It's very buggy at the moment, but if I had to describe it, I would say it's a cross between Twitter, Tumblr, and Google+. It's got a little bit of Twitter in it because you sort of at-mention people in a similar way. It's got a little bit of Tumblr in it because it sort of caters to long-form posts. And it's a little bit of Google+ because you sort of drop people into different lists, which is similar to Google Plus circles, to lists of friends or noise. I have everyone friends right now.
So, first of all, it sounds like you just did a pitch that was like a $12 million round A, whatever, Series A funding pitch, if I've ever heard one for a social network. But, Paul, you're going to have to figure out what I'm talking about, because I literally don't even remember the names of these social networks, but something like Bright Skype or something that's been totally forgotten, and then there's isn't this just another one of these like hipster type social networks that they have a good PR person, and then how long this is going to matter to anyone for?
I'm sort of impressed how long it's lasted. I almost feel it's gotten to a certain point that because it's already lasted this long and people are still talking about it actively, that it's going to do a lot better than at least you alluded to earlier, which is not very good.
But they got a tremendous amount of buzz, not even a little bit. Like, not only did Twitter blow up, Facebook, for the first time I heard somebody on my Facebook feed mention that something exists outside of Facebook. And CNET and Gadget, Verge, the big people, the big guys.
What was that tech news site that you were trying to, what did you call it? CNET? What was it? Oh, just ZNet, correct? Sorry about that.
Well, I don't know. I think we boycott ZDNet or.
So there's buzz. I don't understand how the buzz in any way corresponds to longevity, though. I mean, I think that app.net, which also
it's more than buzz. Like, I actually have friends on here using it, and that's not just like my marketing friends. And so, it's being used a lot. Within my circle, at least.
Okay, compare it really quick to app.net. I mean, app.net, what, you had to pay for it at first, right?
App.net, I had an early account, and my initial reaction to app.net is that this is stupid. Like, and I didn't really get past that. I used it for, like, a day, maybe two, and I got frustrated with it. I'm already using this more than I used app.net.
Okay, I'm going to make my prediction that this is totally forgotten in a matter of months. I can't even remember the other social networks that I am thinking of in my brain.
I can list them all if you want.
Go ahead. See if you hit the ones that I'm thinking of real quick before we move on to the next topic. But go ahead, because I'm thinking of these weird ones.
So we have Pounce, which I really like.
I knew you were going to go back to Pounce, but okay.
Pounce, I love Pounce.
Pounce was subsumed by other things. Like, that actually went somewhere, right?
Well, it got folded into 37 Signal, some blogging file.
Yeah, now name all the Kevin Rose social networks that. Last one, Tiny.
Bacon. Milk. Milk. Yeah,
the one now, Tiny, with like two Y's or something.
Okay, we'll continue. Then we have Brightkite, which was supposed to be a Twitter Foursquare clone. Then you have Foursquare, which is still there. Then you have Gowalla, which is folded up by.
So these those were really place based things. So that those were like Foursquare competitors.
Jaiku was good.
So let's see. Microsoft had one called Social.
Yes, that I remember.
Ping. Do we have a ping?
Ping was only that name was used at first. I mean, as the iTunes social network, but. Okay, I'm going to Wikipedia, and I will mention the ones that, like, what about those like the decentralized ones?
Diaspora.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. Thank you, Han. That is the one that I was thinking of. That is one of the ones.
That got nothing. Like, there was a buzz.
They got a whole bunch of money and got absolutely.
Okay, no. Han. So that I'm impressed. Han, you hit one of the ones that I was thinking of. There's one that's like Diaspora that where it was similarly said that it was like you couldn't take it down. It was of the
Identica,
same.
That was
a chat service, really, right?
Well, it was a decentralized Twitter. But either way, look, all of them started. We could start our own. Identica, you can just start your own. Ning was another sort of decentralized
place. That's a platform for building social networks.
No, people are still using Ning.
Okay, but again, it's okay. Look, I'm surprised Elo got a lot of, like you said, a lot of this traction. And it looks really clean. I like it. I just don't know how they're going to monetize it to the point that it's doing its thing.
The Wikipedia page on social networking websites is really good. It seems comprehensive, right? So Diaspora, which has an asterisk next to it for some reason, I don't know if this is like a 61-star type thing, but maybe because it's shut down, but it says that it started November 2010. It's an open network, or it's open for registration, and its highest Alexa rank was, or its current Alexa rank was 36,000 versus... What's right above it, DeviantArt and Delicious, or above it alphabetically, are 131 and 436 in Alexa, respectively. Elo is currently at 106,000 in Alexa. So I don't know. Maybe it'll go somewhere. My guess is that it will completely disappear.
It's a good start. I guess it's the whole we're gonna start something, see who's gonna buy us out, and hopefully we'll make some money off of it.
Right. So okay. Right. Maybe it'll be picked up by.
Maybe Apple will pick it up and it'll be.
There's no way. There's no way.
There's no way. I'd say there's no way for that as well.
There is no way. I will say that there's a social network that I still cannot get access to, and I missed a message from Paul. I did not have first dibs at Elo. Versus the other Justin Fried, but Paul, it's the one the Find It one with like lots of eyes in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Find.
Yes, I still don't have an account on there. So if you can get me an invite for that, I do have 5 invites for Google domains. Anyway, the show is kind of falling off.
Moving on.
Okay.
So. Hello. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. I give it a half-hearted right side thumbs up.
I give like, it a. I it reminds me most of like them. Of like V for Vendetta or something with like the smiley face ish simplicity or like Anonymous or something. Like it seems like that's what it's going for. I don't think it means much of anything, to be honest with you. That is my take. Paul, you've already given it all but glowing reviews, right?
I'm not gonna give it like 2 thumbs up. I'll give it like a half a thumb or maybe a thumb.
Okay. Watch those thumbs. Okay, all right. Sit on the other thumb. Okay, so that is that one third of the show, Heim time?
Not yes, really. It's 9 minutes.
All right. I was pretty good there. Okay, so the next topic, let's get Bendgate out of the way. So first, I would like to say...
No, you said it wrong. Hashtag Bendgate.
Thank you, Heim. If my video was on, I would do the thing where I put two sets of fingers perpendicular to one another to make the hashtag. But you know, I don't think that people should be able to go into retail stores and just destroy the floor models of things. I don't advocate for that or for vandalism generally.
What have we done? We haven't bent any phones.
Do you mean me? Because you're always such a wimp. You won't even use your size to block the blue shirts from looking at what I'm doing.
We have done our fair share of barely legal things in the Apple Store.
I believe that the floor models on Apple products, you should really feel free to give it a go with them. Drop them, put them in your pocket with your keys, you know, as long as that white cable allows for it lengthwise. Beat them around to approximate their
how strong out the batteries, take out all the parts in the Mac Pro.
Well, again, I left them all in the store. It's not like I stole anything. I just opened the you know, I wanted to see the inside of it. And I, you know, there was a slim chance I would purchase it.
But see how long it takes to open up all the apps.
But for instance, I saw a video of two kids in England going and bending, I think, at least one or two iPhone 6 Pluses. If you can do it casually,
if I bring my Vice grips from Home Depot to the Apple Store because they just happen to be in my back pocket, is that casually?
No, that's not fair game. You can't use any tools.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to test this out.
He could go in there. Yes, okay. He could go in there. Paul, have you run into any iPhone 6 Pluses made into tacos out on the streets of Boston that people have just discarded, or do you not think this is such a big deal?
I've actually not even seen a 6 Plus in the wild.
So that's interesting. So
I have not either.
Wow. You know, I don't... I've been to New York once since the release of the iPhone 6 Plus, so I just assume that these some of the big phones I was seeing is... But it is literally a small percentage of the iPhone 6 family that are the big guys, right? Like, these are the NFL players of...
I've seen the 6 in a while, just not the 6 Plus.
Exactly. The 6 Plus, it is, percentage-wise, it's got to be less than 10% overall of all the units that have shipped.
I'm shocked, because I would think that people want the Plus just to say there's some idea that the 6 Plus is a better phone.
You know what it comes down to? The feature differentiation is the optical image stabilization, the battery life, and the screen size. And other than those things, it's identical feature-wise. And then when you throw in the ergonomics of it, it's really easy to make the case that the 6 is just better. And for me, that's after I played with the 6 Plus a lot, that's how I came to feel, so I'm getting a 6.
I would recommend the 6 to everybody. Look, my Nexus 5 is 5.95 inches. I thought it was the same size. And the 6 Plus is the Note 3 size, and that's a big phone.
We've got to go back to the Bendgate thing, though. So, Paul, do you think it has legs, or this does not matter?
If this Bendgate thing is going to persist, is that...
It doesn't matter. I mean, does it matter?
Like, are people still going to be talking about this, like, 5 months ago from now?
I'll tell you this. They're going to be talking about this longer than they're talking about LO.com. I'll say that.
Look, people are going. Why don't we all go to the Apple Store and take the 4S and bend it in the 5? I think a freak accident happened, and the guy, it just happened to somebody who's a marketing person over at Squarespace or wherever it popped up from. And they took it to the extreme. I don't know how. I don't try to bend my phone. I don't.
Let me tell you, because one of my negative, like, interactions with an Apple product also dealt with bending.
And interesting.
It wasn't an iPhone. It was my first MacBook Pro. I bought another one since, and I don't know. I'm a big guy, but so I was using my computer normally, and the trackpad actually buckled. It was before it was multi-piece aluminum body, and it the trackpad actually buckled under the weight of my wrist.
Interesting.
Like, I wasn't trying to bend it. I was just using my computer normally. It was an aluminum case computer, and it bent.
So that was probably on the right side, right? Was there a certain hollowness underneath it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there is, even in the 13-inch MacBook Pros, I don't know where the hollowness is in the Retina series, but yeah, there are points of weakness in any device, and certainly because aluminum, once you heat it up, even with body heat, is more susceptible to bending than when it's you know at a lower temperature. So it does happen in the case of your MacBook. Did they fix it?
No, they didn't, because it was like it warped the case. So, okay. They thought it was like a freak scenario. I had an awful customer service experience.
So Phil Schiller had his numbers right ready to go. He said it was 9 people only that have complained. And we're certainly probably talking about the 6 pluses.
If you're one of those 9 people, please contact us. We want you on the show.
The thing is that Apple is...
We'll give you LO invites.
The thing is that Apple is at a size where it behooves them to simply swap them out, even if they can determine that it was a person like really messing around with the device. I mean, they don't. The bad press is probably worse than them. And it seems like the press, just because they want to get an angle to cover the iPhone release, like they want their cut from it. If Apple isn't buying enough ads on NBC.com and throwing all the money to ABC because it's a Disney-owned company, it seems like they get their money's worth from Apple and from advertisers by talking up the defects in the phone. That's not my way of saying that Apple, that the defect doesn't exist, but I think that the press really runs with these things more than the consumers overall do.
Well, you also have Consumer Reports coming out saying, we think Ben Gates is overblown. So you first had the Apple story. This is where we chamfer the edges, and here's our diamond-encrusted billing machine. Oh, here's our torture tester machine that was designed by Johnny Ive, made of aluminium. And then you have Consumer Reports coming out saying, look, we've tried, and you have to be fairly strong or wanting to bend this thing.
But what was the force? It was like 70 pounds required to bend it?
Consumer Reports did their tests, and they claim that under regular conditions, it would not bend. It's pretty strong. Just kind of touching the phone, I got the feeling that I could bend it. Now, I didn't test it out, but just looking at the physics of it, right? And if it's the exact same material as the iPhone 6 and it's no stronger, it's only slightly thicker, but it's so wide that they're just I'm not a physics professor. I can't.
So we should make an unbendable iPhone case and market it for like $150.
Well, I would assume adding almost any case would render.
I know, but don't tell them that. That was
exactly
the point.
Because of the separation between the plastic and metal, or the metal and metal, they won't bend simultaneously. I think there's something to do with the gap and the way the force gets distributed that would prevent the actual bending of the device. But I get your point, Haim. But this is not a big deal. This sounds like antenna gate, which Apple came through with and with flying colors, and the iPhone 6 will do fine. This is not going to sully the brand or even the launch of the device, right?
You know what sucks though? iOS 8.
So the iPhone 6 cannot be bent, but iOS 8 can be broken. Is that your point, Paul?
That's my point.
Did Paul get 8.0.1?
No, I got 0.2 now.
Yeah, I skipped over the bad one, but it's a buggy operating system. I'm constantly encountering bugs.
I blame the public beta people.
No, I think it's okay. I think it's okay. All right. So in our where are we on time now?
We're at 18 minutes. We talked more about Elo than we did about Ben Gates.
Well, that's okay. Apple will do fine through. I am impressed. I got 2 9-minute marks. Okay, I'm 1 minute off each time. Anyway, all right. So we will end the show with a Microsoft announcement that I was pretty impressed by. They are, I thought, okay, so it's Windows 10. They're skipping Windows 9. At first, when I saw the headlines, I thought that Windows 10 was the alpha version of Windows and Windows 9 was still coming out. I then put 2 and 2 together, or 5 and 5 together, and realized that Windows 10 is the next version of Windows. And let me say, I support it. I think it's good branding. I dig it. I give them all the freedom in the world to skip 9. I think it's kind of cool that OS 10 is at .10. Let 10s have at it. Go for it. Let's get the
new thing. Someone has to explain it to me, because I thought it was an Onion article at first. Why did they jump to version 10? There's no version 9. There's
so
like...
So they can get CVS to say Apple releases iOS 10.
How can you possibly jump from 8 to 10?
Because 9 was an intermediate. I can come up with the rationale for it. Anyone can.
That's bad rationale.
That 9 was the internal tested version, and then the features are so great that we are leapfrogging ourselves, and it's in fact version 10.
Do you know what other huge piece of software skipped versions?
Tell us, Haim.
Winamp. Winamp went from version 3 to version 5.
That is true. But what was the other change? They changed the skinning between 2 and 5.
And that was the thing that cut it.
Right. That,
and
that's
that was
what,
the thing that destroyed it.
So
rest in peace, Winamp.
Yeah.
Haim, you are good at your I give you credit for Diaspora for bringing that up so quickly. But okay, Windows 8 for it. It seems Windows 8 is like is going to be like the Bush administration of Windows. I guess that's actually Windows Vista, I suppose. Where even though 7 comes out and it's really good, all the problems you still want to take up with the Bush administration. Windows Vista style. It seems like Microsoft
there were two Bush administrations.
I'm talking about the more recent one. But we
Windows Vista.
Is this a tactic of Microsoft's to release a piece of crap and then kind of polish that turd into something worth using? It's just too many times. I mean, Windows 95 to 98.
It was the every other. It was the every other one. The
Windows
lineup
ME
was good. ME to 2000 was good. ME was bad. XP was good. Vista was bad. 7 was good. 8 was bad.
So in my mind, I still remember the first time I installed Windows 8 on someone's laptop from Windows 7, and I was sitting to their right, and I watched them. Try to muddle through, and they thought I was playing a joke on them. Like, they just didn't understand what the hell was happening. And I couldn't understand how Windows 8, in its current form, even in Windows 8.1, how it got out of Microsoft, how it got out, like, how they pressed CDs of Windows 8, if they actually do that anymore. It was such a mess on the desktop, and the idea that they had to make this work on the desktop and on tablets and all the same, it's horrible. I just don't understand it. So they get to redeem themselves here, and they think they've done such a good job. They're putting so much behind it; it gets to be Windows 10. So I give them a pass. Paul, you don't. Haim, you seem like you don't give a crap either way.
No, I look. I saw Windows 8 running on a Surface Pro 3, and I was really impressed by my friend who was using it and how he was flying around and how it made sense.
Okay. All right. When you and I went to that Microsoft event and saw the first Surfaces,
it was awful.
I get that there have been a lot of changes, but okay, so we're off the name. The features, a lot of it is backtracking. I mean, we've seen Apple do this in their OS releases. They've oversimplified, and then they had to kind of, you know, come up with advertising copy that explained why they were going backwards. Microsoft is doing this with bringing back the traditional start menu. Windows Store apps are not mandatorily full screen now. They've realized that people like minimize, maximize, being able to resize things, at least on the desktop. And they're doing multiple desktops. They're doing virtual desktops, whatever you want to call it, spaces on OS X. They're doing that type of thing. And they seem like those changes are not so major that they get to spend a lot of time doing the back end. I just have a good feeling about this release preemptively. I think it'll last the non OS X people a long time. So Haim, with what you've seen, are you think you could replace your MacBook Pro with a cheap Windows machine?
Like I said, a friend of mine has mid-range Surface Pro 3. I think it's $1,000, and it is slick. Like, it is really nice. And there was a thought that I was considering maybe I should do it. I should pull the trigger on that. Windows 10 looks like they listen to people where they want the classic start menu, and they listen to people who said we like the tiles, we want the tiles, and I think that they did a good job. I mean, obviously, it's just we're just seeing screenshots.
Paul, from what you've read, what is your sense of the operating system?
Sounds like they're correcting a lot of the things that people didn't like about Windows 8, and you know, sort of highlighting a lot of the things people liked in Windows 7, and it's exactly what Haim said. They're sort of listening to the consumer more than they did when they released Windows 8.
It sounds like the other thing that they're changing under the new leadership is to be a little bit more flexible overall, and that they're going to do they're in this open, they're going to have a kind of open beta period, and they're going to update it a lot more frequently. So maybe they're going the Zuckerberg way of doing things, and it's like move fast and break stuff, and that good enough is good enough, or whatever, or perfection is the enemy of done, or whatever, you know, pithy way they say it. It sounds like Microsoft is going down that road. And if Enterprise is still primarily on Windows 7, and that's been my experience, although it's hard to buy Windows 8, anything but a Windows 8 laptop, except if you go from, you know, if you do it in a store anyway, they have a huge opportunity here to really, really, I don't know, to bring the operating system ahead.
But we're not talking about the biggest feature, which is the cost.
Chaim, go do it for us, man. Tell us how much
basically,
it will cost.
No, we don't. We don't really know, but they're hinting that it's going to be free. It's going to be a free upgrade for Windows 8 and Windows XP users for some reason.
So
that's cool.
Exactly.
So Windows 10 sounds like OS 10, and free sounds like it's free.
So I think that what they can do is if they have a real reliable way of making sure that your Windows XP is properly licensed, then it seems like it's fair game, or it makes sense for them at some level to bring you into Windows 10. Maybe they think they're going for the halo effect way of selling stuff, that they think that eventually they have a much better chance of getting you onto a Surface if you like going from Windows XP to Windows 10. I mean, do you think that that's the rationale in part?
I think that they saw Windows 8's a problem. They don't want people to get stuck on it. So instead, they're going to say, you know what, free upgrade through the store, through wherever, and if they start offering free, people are more likely to upgrade.
Well, okay, so, but what is the benefit to Microsoft to having these upgrades? Is it the halo effect that they think that they're going to sell actual Microsoft-branded hardware more easily if Windows 10 is a killer upgrade? I mean, where are they
shipping? No, I think they don't want to have the XP problem, that people are still harping on XP. And they just want to move people to the latest and greatest. So if they do push a feature, I think they want to kill Windows 8 so quickly that it they'll do whatever it takes.
But Paul, get in here then and answer the question that Hein doesn't want to seem to. Why though? What is in it for them to do that if that's what they're doing? I still don't. I don't get it.
They need to retain customers. I feel like a lot of people are really dissatisfied with Windows 8. So in order to satisfy those that were dissatisfied, they're offering it to them.
But I it seems like, so is Microsoft no longer just the like the giant elephant in the room? Like you like are they now kind of acknowledging that people have a choice? Is it that they're scared that people will just go to an iPad and never use a laptop again? I don't see why it makes sense when Windows has been their bread and butter for so long. I can get it at a customer service level or like a goodwill level, but at a dollars and cents level, I think this says that they're leaning more on making their own devices, and that they see this as a way. They see that mobile is going to be, you know, 75% of the market eventually.
Well, the data doesn't lie, right? That's the way things are going. They're going to lose their market share just by the virtue of the fact that people are going to be using like the desktop computer much less.
Right. So they see this as a loss leader of sorts. That is, if they want Microsoft in front of people's faces still, and they want them to have a pleasant experience with it, so that they at least have a better shot. They are hedging on the future of mobile, and they want every percentage point that they can, and they think that if people are going from Windows XP to a new mobile device, Microsoft, it's like you don't want to have that experience again. They want Microsoft to stay in the consumer's mind, and the enterprise mind for that matter, as being something that's worth dealing with. I mean, that's my thinking. So
we are done. We have 30 seconds.
Okay. So LO is okay. Bendgate is not a big deal, and Windows 10, I'm giving it. I think it's going to be good.
Okay.
I will happily change my boot camp partition from Windows 8.1 to Windows 10 for free.
It just gets a boot camp partition change. It doesn't get I'm moving to a Windows machine.
Correct, because unless Microsoft is going to start doing single piece aluminum enclosures for their Microsoft branded laptops, it's probably not going to happen. Okay. This has been one of In 30. Find Paul and Shapiro on Elo at what? Is it elo.co/PaulShapiro?
Or
Paul?
P. Shapiro.
P. Shapiro. Okay. It's Hein and Paul are following me on Elo in addition to Low Gluten Diet. Thank you very much, Low Gluten Diet. We'll see you guys around. Bye.
Bye.